Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I am your ever-paid co-host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. Really short show for you guys tonight. We just have the 100, so Jamie will not be joining us. It's just going to be me and Karen. As soon as Karen gets here, we will get to talking about the 100. Which, oh boy, I felt good when the season started, and now I'm just like, yeah, let's get this over with. So she should be here in a moment. In the meantime, I recently got a 3 months of HBO Max, so I was looking through, seeing what they've got to offer, and they have, I didn't realize it started with, but the new Perry Mason, and I used to watch Perry Mason with my grandparents with Raymond Burr, and so I think I'd give the prequel reboot shot, and I like it. It's very intense, I like it. There's that. What else have I been watching? Not much. Last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I've been watching. I'm enjoying that send-off so far. It's been kind of kooky, which is kind of fun. Been doing Avatar, The Last Airbender rewatch with my boys. Well, rewatch for me. Kind of a rewatch for my 13-year-old, and a little one obviously never seen it. What else I got going here? I don't know. Hurry up, Karen. I'm very excited. Got baseball starting on Friday. Well, technically Thursday, but being a Mets fan, I ain't getting nothing until Friday. So got that going for me. Well, let's get going. I haven't seen anything else that I could think of. Not like Karen to be this late. I gotta ramble some more, sorry. Trying to think what else I've been watching. Huh. What else have I been watching? I know there's other stuff. Just can't think of what it was. I don't remember if I mentioned, I finished Homeland a week or two ago. I wasn't too keen on the finale. That was trying to drive me nuts a little bit. And then, I felt better by the end. Felt okay. They took a turn at the end that made it okay. So that was a pleasant show finale, which I thought I was going to be very upset with, because, you know, I say this all the time, finales are hard. And thank God there's Karen. Good evening.
Hello. Hey, I'm sorry I'm a bit late.
I was organizing battle.
You know, my phone said, like, it was 5 minutes to 10, and then all of a sudden it was after 10. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I know there's not much to riff on when we only got one show to talk about, huh?
Oh, I found a couple things to talk about.
All right.
One of them,
great,
which I actually wanted to mention to you. Did you ever watch Perry Mason when you were younger?
The old Perry Mason. It still comes on TV, like, late at night. Like, it comes on at, like, midnight on some channel, yeah. And I remember that theme song. Yeah,
yeah.
Perry Mason. I mean, yeah, I know it. It's so famous.
I, I used to watch all the movies that started in the 80s with my grandparents. So Matthew Rhys is playing Perry Mason on HBO Max now, and the new new Perry Mason series.
And
it's pretty good. I like it.
It's a mini. It's only like 6 episodes, right?
It's 8.
Okay.
But as far as I know, I think it's already been renewed for season 2. It's kind of like a prequel type. It's like a prequel reboot, is what they're calling it.
Like how Perry Mason became Perry Mason.
Basically, it's definitely a lot darker and grittier than what we remember with Raymond Burr. But it's pretty good. I like it a lot.
Well, I mean, a show from, like, what was that, like the 50s or 60s? The shows weren't that dark back then, you know?
No.
Like, dark had a different level back then. Maybe I'll check it out. It's on,
yeah.
It's on HBO?
It's on HBO. I just got a month free subscription to HBO Max, so I was flipping through, seeing what was on it. And I was like, ooh, the new Perry Mason that I heard about. I didn't even know it had started. So I was watching.
Did you get it so your wife can watch Hannah?
No, I think she might watch. Wait, isn't Hannah on Prime?
Yeah, but Alyssa and I had a conversation the other day about the movie, and the movie is available on HBO right now.
Oh, I didn't even know there was.
Like, the show is on, but if you haven't seen the movie, it's nice. I do want to watch Hannah, and I haven't, but if you haven't seen it, it might be nice to watch the movie, right?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, no, it came, Junie got a new TV, and we got it from Best Buy, and apparently there was a free subscription to HBO Max, so.
Oh, nice deal.
That's how we ended up with that.
Cool.
Anyway. I get the feeling we're going to be on the same page as usual about the 100. What are your questions, Karen? Karen texted me earlier that 2 minutes in and she had questions. What are your questions?
Well, you know, as soon as I started watching those beeps, it's my fridge, sorry. Within the first 2 minutes of the 100, I was asking, why do they even live on Bardo? Like, you know, we have this scene in the first 2 minutes where our heroes go up the elevator to the surface and we see a bunch of frozen ice giants. And there's some discussion of like, wow, this is really terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, when you have 5 planets at your disposal through the portal, like, why don't they live on Skyring or Sanctum? Like, why? What made Bardo seem like the place that you want to settle? I mean, granted, there's a lot of technology that provides some safety, but Skyring and Sanctum are both perfectly kind of safe places to have a step. So within the first 2 minutes, I'm like, this, like, it was just another fundamental problem I have with, like, the very basis of this season. And it's not a huge thing to worry about, but it just bothered me because it's another, like, on it. Like, I feel like this season, I'm feeling more and more like this is a flimsy season that offers no answers or reasons or foundation for anything. It's just happening because the writers are like, let's make it happen. It just set a bad tone for the next hour, which I have a whole bunch of issues with the whole hour that followed.
I completely agree.
I think it
First
was not
all,
a good episode.
No. Well, there haven't been any good episodes. I mean, even stuff on Sanctum. I mean, honestly, I'm bored with Sanctum. Every week, I care less and less about Sanctum, which, considering that's where I should be focused, I'm not. I mean, another week with no Bellamy. Our main cast has been pretty much non-existent all season.
Yep.
To the exception of Octavia, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and they're playing very fast and loose with time this season. Because remember last week when they came in, I said they look like they're converted already. I'm like, it's only been a couple days, and now we find out it's been 3 months. That doesn't make sense to me. 3 months makes no sense. Like, Clark and them, they haven't been separated. There's no way they've been separated from Clark for 3 months. Like, with what we've seen, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, this idea that time is different on different planets is flimsy and not well established. And, like, we didn't think that Bardo, like, Skyring, okay, we get it, but, yeah. And yet, at the same time, AJ, well, 3 months.
Yeah, three months.
Well, you're like, there's no way they've been away from Clark for 3 months. It doesn't feel like it would possibly be that long. And yet, I also feel like 3 months is not long enough to make our female murder squad or whatever they are, like, become brainwashed. And that's a question we should discuss, whether we believe they're really brainwashed or not. But 3 months is too long and yet not long enough at the same time, right, for what's going on Bardo.
Right. I'll jump right at that first question. You know, I don't believe they're brainwashed at all. I think they're smarter than Hope. Think Hope can get her shit together, which makes sense because the other three women are a lot more hardened. Hope thinks she's a badass. She's really not. Hope's in her 20s and hasn't, you know, she's had a shitty child, you know, she had a shitty childhood when growing up, and I mean, she has not been dealt a nice hand. But the other three ladies, they've been around, and they know how to manipulate the shit, you know? So...
Well, I mean, so where you're going with this...
Go ahead.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, is that I think they're totally faking it, and I think they all knew that Hope wasn't going to make it, and I think they sent Hope to back the Skyring to protect her. Because, yeah, while, you know... Even if she's there the full 5 years, it's 5 years. She's in her 20s. You know what I mean? 5 years isn't the end of the world for her. At the same time, I think whatever their plan is, they're going to go to Skyrim and get her, so she might be there maybe a month, you know?
So you think they have a plan and they didn't tell Hope because she's too inexperienced and can't be trusted? I mean,
I
agree with you. Yes. Well, you know, in Hope's defense, before, like, 2 episodes ago, Hope had only met, like, 6 people in her entire life. Right? Like, she's raised by Dio's and Octavia, 2 extremely screwed up people. And then she eventually meets, like, these 2 different guys from Bardo and Echo and Gabriel. Like, she's only met 6 people in her entire life. And so... she really is not skilled at like dealing with people and like, yeah, yes, thank you. Awesome word. At subterfuge, at hiding her emotions, at playing people. Like, I'm inclined to agree with you because of that. And because it's the only thing that makes sense for this ridiculous storyline that I just don't really like. There's no way you can believe that these hardened warrior women are converted to a cult that has given us no reason to, like, one reason I don't buy it is because they've been told nothing. Anders is like, oh, the big war is coming, and you've got, you know, and then at one point you must see our way of life, and their whole way of life, all we know about is that they don't believe in any bonds, and they grow babies in jars, and, right, like,
yeah.
For a show that is all about, like, loyalty to your people and what you will go through to save your people, like, Bardo is the opposite of that. And so there's no way I buy these women going for this in 3 months. And so, yes, the idea that they're faking it is the only thing that works because there's no... Maybe Echo, because I think they're setting us up to believe that Echo, you know, that she may have completely fallen apart without the man she loves. But also, and Echo, of all of them, is the true soldier. Like, Echo has served many masters in the show, whether it was the Ice Queen or Rowan, or, like, Echo has gone from master to master to master to master in the show, right? So, Echo,
yeah.
I might buy it. I think they're setting Echo up for a big sacrifice to die before, like, to lose Bell. Like, Bellamy will come back and be like, who the hell are you? I hate you now.
No, I think
they're setting her up.
As Bellamy, as Bellamy comes back, she'll, like, die in Bellamy's arm when he finally comes back. She'll be like, oh, I did this because I thought you were dead and I didn't want to live. And guess what? I'm alive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, at any rate, I might buy her becoming, like, a soldier of Bardo, and yet I really don't because there's nothing to, like, there's nothing to believe it. Like, do you understand anything about what the Bardoans are fighting against or for or any of it?
No, it's been very nondescript the whole time. I mean, the one thing with Echo, and I think they're setting this up on purpose, is, like, you know, when they were in the classroom, and Echo's like, these kids have it better than I ever did, you know?
Yeah.
Which is true. You know, Octavia, too. I mean, Octavia lived under a fucking floor.
And yet we don't ever hear Octavia, like, whine about that. I think Octavia is a character that, like, you could get Octavia to fight for your cause if she understood, like, injustice or the righteousness of it, right? Like, I think if they would just tell Octavia what the final war is about, she might be like, oh, and, like, if they were actually raising children, and, like, Octavia could be activated to fight for a cause, but on an emotional level, like, I think the history of the Hundred is about, what will you do to save your people who you love?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, when you said it before, Bardo is the exact opposite of what this entire show has been about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I just can't believe. Yeah, I just can't believe that these three warrior women, the four, maybe I've never been the biggest fan of Echo, but, like, Hope, Dioza, and, like, the very idea that, you know, this mental fear test they have to take where they all have to kill Hope. Very interesting that they all have to kill Hope. Do you believe under any circumstances that Dioza would kill Hope in that simulation?
Yeah, absolutely not.
Or Octavia, who's her surrogate mother.
Or even Echo. There's no way any of them kill Hope. It's just they understood what they had to do to pass the test. I mean, you even hear Echo when she comes out, she's like, oh my God, I killed her. You know, she totally played it up.
Yeah.
You know, actually, one of my favorite things with Echo was when she's like, are these shots lethal? And they're like, no. And then she took the other three out so she could win. That was awesome.
It was pretty awesome, and it was pretty fake, right? Like, that seemed to also be a real, like, show being put on for the stupid Bardoans. Like, oh, she's a hard ass.
Well, it's also
it's
right up Echo's alley, too. I mean, that's totally an Echo move right there.
Yeah, she would totally do that, yeah. I mean, she's tree crew. She's different than, I mean, they all have their faults. Like, Dioza is a horrible terrorist. Let's not forget that. And then Octavia's Blood Reyna, and, you know, Echo is a double agent. She's a double agent spy. That's how she was introduced to us, as a person who would betray anyone around her, because she's a spy. So I'm not.
She tried to kill Octavia.
Yes, of course. While she's incredibly annoying, and I feel like they're not making her totally true to herself, she's mostly true to herself. Like, I mean, I don't really, we've talked about this, a show that's all about strong women. I don't really want to see her storyline be defined by Bellamy in the end, but who knows if he'll ever come back. Like the worst part about the show is that all the main characters are never on it. So Bob Morley, we know, is like on vacation, but Clark.
Octavia's pretty
sidelined too.
We talk about this every week, and I mean, what was this, episode 9? We've got 7 left.
Yeah.
He's in less than half the season.
Yes, but
and
Clark,
I mean,
is never in it either.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Clark has been extremely sidelined. I mean, we've been, you know, we've seen a fair amount of Indra, who made a big snafu this week, which I think, once again, somebody making a stupid decision to further the storyline.
Yep.
Something that
yep.
Indra never would have did that in a million years.
Nope.
If somebody was going to kill Chet Hayden, she would have done it herself. She wasn't going to let an angry mob do it. That was ridiculous. And I'm sorry. And speaking of bonehead moves that people don't do, Murphy does not slip. He does not slip up. You don't understand. It's what he wanted. He's like, open the door. No, we can't open the door. But this is what Shane Hader wanted. And you're like, Shane Hader. No, I'm sorry. Murphy doesn't slip.
Well, that's
Murphy
very interesting to say that. And so, I mean, so jumping over to Sanctum, which is a horrible, dragging storyline also. Like, this season should have been 10 episodes and just get it done, right? Like, this is going on
yeah.
and on and on, and nothing happens that is of any consequence ever. Like, we could have completely skipped the whole show, the whole episode on Bardo, and it would have been fine. And we could have skipped, like, most of what's happening on Sanctum for the entire... Like, okay, so... Russell massacred probably 25 people, and I have really no feelings about that, except I'm just kind of glad I don't have to deal with them anymore. Right? Like, can you remember the names
that
of any of them? He killed 25 people with a candelabra. Just that one girl
names?
That was sucking up to him. Just that one girl had a name,
yeah.
which I forget.
Yeah, I was. That was my first thought, too, though, was, oh, good, at least we don't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah. Like, 25 people were killed with a candle, and I'm like, whatever. Exciting. It wasn't a good fight scene. It wasn't, you know, it's just over. Thank you.
No, it was behind closed doors.
Yeah.
We didn't even see it. We just heard screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a terrible character. I think he's being poorly written. Like, I don't, again, like, you know, we don't like to blame an actor when we don't have to. I feel like this actor is being directed to overact. I'm going to blame the director on this. You know, and he's so ridiculous as Shade Hada. And then, you know, I felt like that whole thing with him being covered with blood was so dumb. First of all, I'm sick of seeing characters covered in blood. Like, we just saw it on Snowpiercer last week, where a character is covered with blood as some sort of metaphor. Yeah. But it's still, someone's covered with blood as a signpost to us of, like, a change in him or something, right? I don't know. Look, I'm glad those people are dead because they were freaking annoying. And at least one faction, like, we have so many factions now on this show of people being against each other that at least one faction is completely gone. I wish Nelson had been killed because he's horrible and has to go.
He had a knee, so he couldn't go yet.
Yeah, but I think you're right that, you know, you raised a good point about Murphy saying, oh, it's Shane Hada. You're right, that wasn't an accident. He did what he had to do to save Amori. It's one of the few things on Sanctum that feels real, Murphy and Amori. More Murphy than Amori.
Oh, yeah.
And that, you know, I also think, we talked about this last week, we have seen a couple of episodes now where Shade Hada appears to have outplayed Murphy. And there's every week now they're talking about chess. Like, I feel like they're hammering us over the head with chess. All Shade Hada talks about is playing chess. And because we're going to see by the end of the season that Murphy has outplayed Shade Hada, right? Obviously, that's where this is going. Like, everything's a metaphor for chess, and who's the queen, who are the pawns. So all the pawns are wiped out today, right? All the pawns got killed with a candle. Do you think that Indra was made a mistake and was outplayed, or do you think she expected that? Like, I felt at first like Indra would never be this stupid. Like, she obviously knows that Shade Hada is capable of killing these people. Does she really believe that these cult peaceniks are going to kill him with no weapons? Or is somehow this part of her plan? Did she know that he would kill them?
It's just bad writing. It's just bad writing. There's no way. Indra doesn't have other people do shit for her. Indra is her own sword. You know what I mean?
If she wanted him dead, she'd kill him. She wouldn't. she wouldn't have those wimps do it for her.
Well, and that's it. She fears Shane Haydon, okay? There's no question about that. Indra's smart enough to fear him, okay? It's not always a sign of weakness to fear somebody. In this case, it's very smart to fear him because he is dangerous, he is ruthless, and he could turn anybody from one crew to follow him in a heartbeat, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that. If he's going down, she needs to take care of it. She is not going to trust a bunch of
pansy people
that are setting themselves on fire, throwing temper tantrums because they didn't get their way, you know? And she should have known not to leave Shane Haydon alone with a bunch of people that couldn't handle themselves. But because that's what we needed so that Shane Haydon could rise, that's what they wrote was for Indra to be stupid. So here
yeah,
we go again.
You're right.
Another character being written not who they are.
Yeah, I think you're right. And she, you know, she's a fantastic character. We were so happy last week to see her finally start to take some leadership role that she should have had for like 4 seasons. And then I'm also not thrilled that, you know, one crew is turning out to be a really shitty group of people also, who, you know, they followed Blood Raina blindly and they followed Juan Haida, and they're so into like following their leader, and they had become such a wishy-washy bunch of losers. And then last week they all took the knee to Indra, and Indra's like, I'm in charge now. And they're like, yes, yes, Indra. And then it only takes 1 second, and we didn't see all of them, but we saw like half a dozen of them immediately kneel down to Shane Haida, who first of all is known to be the most violent and crazy commander ever. And
right.
Second of all, it's never been clear to me that everybody knows about him. Like, all these commanders are in the flame, but unless you know your, like, it's like me knowing all 45 U.S. presidents enough to be like, oh my God, William McKinley, yes, let me bend the knee, right? I mean, okay, a more violent president, like, okay, a more famous president, but still.
No, I know what you mean, though.
I don't know. I feel like the one crew is being shown to be a kind of a bad bunch of people who are like part of this season, I think, is people wanting to blindly follow, which, I mean, one crew in the past was about following the strongest commander, and they would fight in the conclave to be the strongest commander, right? And
right.
I mean, Indra has shown that she's earned that, and Russell, or Russ Haida, as we call him, right? I don't know. I'm struggling to understand why one crew is so, I don't know. It's because the writers want to have a lot of factions of people
yes.
who are losers and casting them out for leaders.
Unfortunately,
right?
At the end of the day, is about the writers writing whatever they want. They're not writing in service of the characters. They're writing in service of the story. And that's when you lose your narrative, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, see, I haven't mentioned Lost in a while. Lost wrote in service of the characters. It is a great character show. I mean, yes, we had the mystery, we had, you know, the what the hell's going on and everything, but it never came at the price of the characters. The characters, 95% stayed true to themselves throughout this entire show. Jack never changed.
Yes.
Jack was always the whiny, bitchy, reluctant leader who cried every chance he got throughout the entire show. He never changed. We never once said, oh my God, Jack was so out of character this week. We say it constantly in 100. And it's, you know, and it's because the writers are getting lost in the story and not how to continue that story and stay true to the characters. And when we talk about this, I mean, you know, even Raven now is kind of not quite as sound issues, you know, Murph. I mean, if any three have basically stayed true, it's Murphy, Indra, and Raven. Everybody else has gone out of character.
Maybe Echo, but yeah, maybe Echo has stayed, but yeah. I mean, that's another thing. Like, you look at a character like Raven, who I wouldn't say is necessarily, I mean, she's she's maybe not the main, but she's a top five character. Like, after you get past Clark, who's the star, and then Bellamy and Octavia, then you do have, like, Raven, you know, in your next, in your top five, who's another one we haven't seen. Like, so in addition to Bellamy just not being in the season at all yet, Clark, Raven, for what it's worth, Gaia has become a main character. I mean, she only appeared halfway through the show, but, like, we have all these characters who are not even in the season, you know, at the expense of someone like Nikki, Baby Dioza, who had a huge episode. And then by the end, it's like, oh, she's pretty much done. Like, we had to spend four episodes with Baby Dioza only to find that really her story goes nowhere. Like, her rebellion is put down, and she's going to be, like, probably not in the whole rest of the show. Or maybe in, like, two episodes. I don't know, right? Like, this is a common thing with shows in later seasons where they have too many new characters, they're getting too much screen time, and our main characters are not being seen. So, Bob Morley taking vacation, whatever. Eliza, I forget her name, Eliza, the woman who plays Clark, her name is Eliza.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
I'm drawing a blank on her last name.
And Lindsay, who plays Raven. Anyway, like, we have, like, all of our main characters
Lindsay
not being
Morgan.
Seen. Like, Lindsay Morgan, yes. I've been really complaining about not seeing Bellamy, but really, we're not seeing Clark, we're not seeing Raven. To not see Clark to see Clark raise that gun and then to have another flashback this week, which really didn't give me anything. Like, I could have maybe not seen this flashback and just have had next week Octavia say, oh, they brainwashed us for 3 months. And that would really accomplish the same thing for me. By the way, what do you think about Octavia and Levitt?
Octavia and who?
The brainwash.
Oh,
the
I was going to ask you about
Octavia
that.
And the brainwash guy she made out with.
I don't know. Like, I was going to ask you that. I don't know what. I mean, on one hand, it's kind of Octavia-like. On the other hand, like, he's been helpful. Like, I don't know if she's just playing him too, or she figured it'll, you know. I haven't got laid in a while. I really don't know how to take that.
So,
because
I mean,
she hasn't been intimate with anyone since Lincoln.
Since Lincoln. And it's really only like 4 or 5 years, real. I mean, so there were 5 years in the bunker, right? So it's like 7 years since Lincoln.
Yeah. Yeah. For her to fall for this guy after Lincoln, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is.
And he's like the opposite of Lincoln. Like, Lincoln was an alpha male.
Yeah.
And this guy's like a... So I do think it has been clear almost since the minute Lincoln walked... Levitt came on the screen that he worships Octavia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but it's only because he... It's creepy because he had access to her memories and that's what made him attracted to her. Like... It's not by knowing her, it's by invading her. Like, it's kind of rapey, right? That he, like, he has access to her innermost thoughts and feelings against her will, and that is what makes him attracted to her. And so that's really sort of creepy. I mean, I like that he admires her for all the things that she is that the Bardoans are not. Like, she's a very passionate, she's so passionate, right? Which makes her the opposite of Bardo, which is all about, like, everything Octavia does is about love and feelings and loyalty and honor. And that's the opposite of Bardo. But at the same point, like he only knows that because he violated her. And so it's creepy. It's not clear to me. I think, I remember Octavia saying, where do you meet Blood Reyna? He says, I've seen her kill more people than I've ever known in my life, but I still don't know if he ever really met Blood Reyna. Like, did he only get the memories before the bunker? Does he really know Octavia? And do I care? I don't know if I care. Like,
no,
he's in love with her.
I don't care either.
And Octavia either was like, oh, let me just have sex with this guy because he's kind of cute, whatever. or is she, is it part of the plan? Yeah, she has she been playing since she met him, right?
I think she's definitely using the fact that she can tell he's into her that against him.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so, because I don't see him as a viable partner or an equal to her.
No.
In any way.
I don't either.
And so I'd like her to be using him, because I don't see anything. I don't even see her really being attracted to him in his little white tunic. I mean, he's not a bad looking actor, but I don't really, they have done a really good job. They've done a really good job of showing why he's attracted to Octavia. They have done zero of showing why she'd be attracted to him, except that he saved her life like 3 times.
Right. Yeah.
So it was sort of like a pity. Maybe it was like a pity makeout in this episode. I don't know.
I don't know. But with 7 episodes left, there is just, you know, it's funny. When the season started, I thought, okay, we got 16 episodes. They're really going to flesh some things out. And it's a bunch of filler and introducing new people. That's all it's been. You know? I mean,
I'm really, 9. Yeah. I'm worried that it's going to be a show this is going to be that we're going to say it was good until the last season. I mean, it hasn't been good for a couple seasons, but the last season is good.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, to be 9 episodes in and have Zero Bellamy, all right, whatever, the guy wanted some time off, but Clark's only really had enough lines to fill like 2 episodes, maybe. And she hasn't done anything that really made any sense. Like, all the action, look, all the action on Sanctum is Russell and really Amori and Murphy. And, like, I don't begrudge them screen time. Like, they're like,
no,
he's an original character. But we have devoted so much time to Dioza and Hope and Barda. Like, what? Like, and I don't think it's answering the question, like, the original questions of, like, what will you do to survive? Are not really who to survive, what you do for your people. Like, I don't know. I think I would have preferred for Bardo to just tell us what the war is. What's the final war? Just tell us why. Like, if you tell us what the final war is and what we're up against, and not spend week after week after week on flashbacks, I would maybe be more down with it.
I feel it's going to be stupid anyway, whatever it ends up being.
Well,
you know,
I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be against other humans. I think the final war is going to be like a fucked up thing that's against other humans. Like, I don't know where that line came today where I just watched it say, where Octavia's like, wait, the 10-foot tall aliens were frozen into ice. I was like, what? What? Where did that come from? Like, all of a sudden they're 10-foot tall aliens? And they
you
were
know,
frozen
into
calcium?
The other problem is they're rewriting their own history of this show, because I remember back in probably, I want to say it was season 3, when we first find out about Becca and that she isn't just, you know, the AI is modeled after Becca and everything. And you know, we the whole thing about homeless coming out and everything, like, it doesn't jive with what we already know. And if, you know, all these commanders have the memories of other commanders and everything, it's like they pick and choose when the commanders have the memories. You know what I mean? So, like, how are you going to tell me that all these commanders that have come since Rebecca, okay, none of them have the memory of whatever Rebecca saw about the final war?
What? And shouldn't Shade Hayda have that memory and Clark?
And not for nothing, and think about this a second. It's been, since Rebecca had that vision of the final war, it has been almost 200 years.
Yeah.
Because think about it.
This makes me think Clark is lying.
I don't think Clark knows anything. Unless they want her to
like
the script.
So you're making me think when Clark said, oh, Callie is here in the backdoor pilot, and it's, oh, Kelly's here, which implies she remembers it all. I think she doesn't, because why doesn't she hate it? Why would not every commander be like, holy shit, the final war, let's focus on that, and not about, like, Ice Crew, Ice Nation versus Tree Crew, right?
But that's the thing. If this final war was such a big deal, it's been almost 200 years since she had that vision.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I understand why it would maybe Anders, but his daughter Callie, who was the mother of Tree Crew, should also have had that, unless, I guess, she never took the flame. Like, it's possible that Callie was a flame keeper like Gaia and never took the flame herself, right?
We don't know, and I'm never going to find out.
No. And the fact that I'm even talking about that is crazy, because we were losing screen time the idea that Clark has not been in almost the entire season and so many other main characters, and I'm getting distracted by, like, the crazy pilot from last week. Yeah. And it's like a deflection.
It's all ridiculous.
Yeah.
I had hope.
So, you know, we
and
have
I,
a...
I started,
we've, go ahead. Sorry.
I started the season... you know, I remember telling you I wasn't hate watching. I was just watching it for what it was. I was okay with stuff. Things were kind of cool at first. I enjoyed some stuff, and now it's just like, here we go again. It's just they can't get out of their own way. And this has been happening for 3 years now. It's just like,
yeah.
You know, I think the biggest problem is the characters. It's the characters, because, you know, like I said before, they're not staying true to the characters. And just having people do stuff to further the story that doesn't make any sense. And we had, like, you keep saying, in this big mystery, you know, final war that we know nothing about. We know nothing about anything with any of it. They haven't told us anything. They haven't told our characters anything. We're just supposed to go along for the ride. And it's not a fun ride. It's like going to the amusement park thinking you're going to go on a big, crazy, scary roller coaster.
Be okay with that if they hadn't indoctrinated some major characters. Like we have three characters who bought in or appeared to buy in, and they seem to have more information. Like, when the characters have information that's being withheld from the audience, that's a delicate dance you have to do. And I feel like these writers... Like, on the 100, they've taken too long to give us the information.
Yeah.
Because it's making me not believe that, you know, Dioza, Octavia, and Echo, the like, Wonder Woman force, are not... Like, clearly the show wants us to get behind the three of them. And there's just no foundation for me to, like, do that. And so I agree with you that they're probably faking it, but... They could be faking it, and we could still get some more understanding of what the Bardoans are selling to them.
Well, this show has become all about that last-minute shock value reveal, because think about the whole Blood Reyna storyline. I remember that season, by episode 3, I was like, something happened in that bunker. I was like, there is a reason that Octavia has lost her shit. She came out of the bunker, a completely different character. We could not stand Octavia the whole season because, like we've talked about, the characters are not staying true to themselves. And something happened in there. It took 3/4 of the season before we finally found out what happened in the bunker. They always drag it out too long before they tell us what's going to happen. And it's not going to get any better, because I was just looking... because I wanted to verify this was episode 9. You know it's going to be another 2 weeks before we get another episode?
Yes, we have a little hiatus now for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's not back till August 5th. Although
August 5th.
I think the reason for that is because, you know, the 100 came back 2 weeks early to fill gaps because of COVID-19, right? Like, other shows didn't come around, and so they premiered the show 2 weeks
early.
Yeah. When it premiered in May, it came back. It premiered 2 weeks earlier than the CW had intended. And so I think they're adding a 2-week break to sort of make it fit the original schedule. I mean, 2 weeks, I can take 2 weeks. It's not a month. It's not 2 months, right? But that's why. It's scheduling problems because of COVID.
I could lose interest in 2 weeks.
I mean, yeah, it's not
it's
great.
Like, it's going to come back on, and I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, I got to watch the 100. And you know what? It's actually fun. I don't watch the 100 at all. I watch the 100 in 20-minute increments over a period of 3 days while I'm at work. I watched it on my phone.
I mean, that's funny because last week I kind of spoiled it for you, and you're like, it's a good thing I've seen the first 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, you watched the first 20 minutes?
Yeah, that was the flashback.
I mean, my main thing is I just feel like these, I mean, I have a lot of main things, but, you know, they have chosen to focus on four characters in the first part of the season. Like, we're now, what, halfway through, and they've chosen to focus on these four women. Yeah, they've chosen to focus on four women who are not Clark, which is annoying, but they've chosen these four women to be the focus. And they're not supporting them in the way that I wish the story would support them, right? I mean, I do think Hope is maybe, I mean, I think they've done a great job with Hope. Hope, for being a new character introduced this season, I understand her, I get her backstory, I get what motivates her. And for Hope to fail the test this week, when she failed the test, I got that. When everybody else passed the test, I didn't really get that at all, right? Except that it's probably a fake out, and now we're gonna find out soon that they've learned how to outdo the test.
Well, it's easy. You just got, you know, they know what they're expecting in the test, and they know how to, like I said before, they're, you know, they've been through it before. They can control themselves. Whereas,
I mean, I believe Echo could fake it out because Echo's a double agent. She's always been introduced as a double agent. Tavia, a very passionate character, would have to really work at it. I guess we'll get another. Well, you know, because the whole season is being told in flashback, we don't get to see that. Like, would I rather see a storyline where Octavia knows this is coming and she struggles with her nature to contain her emotion? Like, would that be a thing that I would rather see? Maybe,
yeah.
Or would I rather see Dioza struggle with, like, her maternal love for her child rather than see her kill her and then later be like, oh, I was lying, I faked it. Like, for me and you, I think also as people who enjoy shows about character, would I rather see the character struggle to overcome Bardo rather than see her, like, have a giant fight and then be like, oh, by the way, I beat their mind. Washing.
Yeah.
I mean, mind washing, brainwashing. Meanwhile, Clark is still standing in a room holding a gun for two episodes now.
Yep.
Maybe she took time off also. I don't know. Like, did she take time off also, or
that's
is she just
like.
Being like
I,
sidetracked
I
for the entire show?
I couldn't tell you.
All right, well, I mean, there's still time for a great next 10 episodes, right? We've had 9, so we'll probably get, like, 6-7 more, yeah.
7 episodes.
We have a 2-week break.
I'm sure they'll nail the finale there. That's about the only thing they can do anymore.
That's what they do best on this show, right? Like, I think at least 3 or 4 years in a row, you've been like, I hated this show, and then the season finale rocked.
That was, like, the year of Blood Rain, we were both, and then they nailed the finale. The last two episodes were epic, and we're like, let's see where this goes. And then 99 years later, they, you know, run out of attack them, and we're like, okay, this is dumb. We're so over the flame. And then the finale last year, we're like, all right, you know, actually last year they didn't, but they did a decent job with it. But I think we were both kind of on the edge, and then they're like, yeah, season 7 is the final season. We're like, all right, we're gonna see it through. And now here we are. So
maybe we should do a rewatch where we only watch the season premiere and then the last two of every season, and we just ignore the whole middle of the season.
And
it'll be fine.
I love the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I say this all the time, it's just, it's not the same show that I watched the first three seasons. Even when we hated Allie, we liked everything else. The Allie storyline is where it started to fall apart. But even that was not as bad. At least the characters were still true. We hated Jahan, we hated Allie, but at least it all made sense and we understood what was going on.
Yeah, like, when I hated Jaha, he was still Jaha. When I hated Kane, he was still Kane. I mean, and even, you know, there was a time when we hated Murphy. And, you still kind of loved to hate Murphy or hate to love Murphy.
We loved to hate Murphy. We loved to hate Murphy.
From the jump, yes.
You know? Yeah.
Abby,
oh, my God.
Look, I hated Abby for a long time. But at least she was consistently horrible. Like, Abby was always horrible. Abby rarely had a moment where I was like, Abby turned really good. That's not true to her. Like, Abby always made a horrible decision when it was a terrible character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was consistently bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, all right. The problem is that the living characters who we love are being bad, but they got a 2-week break, which I know the whole thing's shot and it's not like something's going to change over break. It's all shot and in the can, whatever, but we are going to figure out what to talk about next week on our show.
If anything.
Yeah.
So stay
tuned. We might have a little break.
We might not have a show for the next 2 weeks.
Because nothing's on TV, but we'll see.
Yep. So stay tuned.
All right.
We might surprise you.
Yeah.
All right,
go ahead,
Karen.
We'll hate it. Stay tuned.
Take care.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks to our sponsors, right? And stay cool. It's hot out there, people. Be careful.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Have a good one.
Good night.
Stay safe. Good night.